Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 207, episode 2 of Der Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness, and it's Tuesday, October 19th, 2021. My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. So hi, it's Jack O'Brien, some guy bent some metal with my kegels, but my prostate was dry. And them good old boys were soaking tubes left and right, singing, morning, it's the Daily Zeitgeist. Mm. Morning, it's the Daily Zeitgeist. Mm. That is courtesy of Lex Lugie. And I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray.
Do you be weed at the start of our love? I watch you disappear in smoke and really think you're ninja in a foe. Oh, shout out to Hannah on the Discord for that just Believe Megan Fox Machine Gun Kelly inspired AKA. Shout out MFC Erickson. Also, we asked and MFC Erickson provided the Photoshop job that we all deserved. Jack and I on the red carpet, and I saw some other people get in on the Photoshoppery, so shout out to the listeners who got the assignment.
Now, I definitely pay attention to the show while we're recording it, but could you refresh my memory what the request was there?
So, okay, you know, you saw the picture.
Yeah, I saw the picture. So,
okay,
my wife sent it to me. My wife sent it to me and said, this is like, a good look.
She's like, what's going on with you, Miles? But no, we were talking about the Megan Fox thing, and we were just talking about how cliched their photos were, like her aiming the gun at his crotch,
right,
and stuff. And we're like, so this is so aggro. And I was like, yo, somebody Photoshop us as a terrible Megan Fox MGK couple. And then I was turned into Steve Harvey.
Right. So you were Steve Harvey.
You're MGK.
Okay.
Yeah.
That was my confusion.
With the tech Nina at my nether region.
Yeah. Well, Miles,
yeah,
we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by one of the funniest and smartest writers and people I've ever worked with. Mm-hmm. He is the author of the book How to Fight Presidents, is currently a writer for Last Week Tonight with John Oliver, is in development on a fishing show with Eli Manning, and co-hosts the podcast Quick Question with Soren and Daniel. Please welcome the hilarious, the talented, the brilliant Daniel O'Brien!
D.O.B.!
Thank you. Thank you so much. There's nothing I could do but underwhelm after after such a gracious setup.
No relation, no. By the way.
Yes.
Good to see you. Tell me about this fishing show. I've noticed a lot of Eli Manning content from you. You seem real thirsty for a project with Eli. Well, what's your relation to Eli Manning?
I am. I'm a huge New York Football Giants fan. I think there's something inherently very funny about Eli. He's just like an earnest, big goofball who shouldn't have two Super Bowl wins, but he does, like, and there's nothing anyone can do about it.
Yeah.
And I just love this charming doofus oaf, and I've been following him on Twitter, and like I don't like to be very loud about what I want professionally on Twitter and like ask for opportunities because it seems gauche to me, but I suspend that rule just for Eli Manning,
right?
Because I want to do something with him, and I surely he's not even aware of my existence. And if he was ever tipped off to it, he would think I'm making fun of him in some way when I send him pitches that I'm like, Eli, I want to do a show with you and a bunch of puppets where they try to teach you Spanish. And I'm sure his people think he's making fun of you. Eli, I'm not. I want to do a puppet show with you, or I want to do a show about hot wings. I know you got this deal with Frank's Red Hot Sauce, and I know you like fishing, and I love fishing. Let's do a fishing show. With or without puppets, I don't care. I think if I could just sit in a room with Eli Manning, we can whip up something for Peacock or FX on Hulu, or I guess I probably should suggest HBO Max. Something. We can do something together, Eli. Please. Yeah.
I mean, if you think deeply, right, I think the way to get the Red Hots thing is, sadly, you would have to quit your Emmy Award winning job.
Done.
And work for an ad agency that has the Frank's Red Hot account, and then you pitch the special content, and then, you know, through his deal, they're gonna be like, that's great, we're gonna go to Eli with it. I feel like that's the quickest route there, but I don't think you should quit your job, so maybe we'll just bombard him on Twitter till he responds.
Yeah, it was difficult enough to convince my parents what I was doing mattered when I was working for a comedy website. If I now have to quit my television job, I was like, I work for the hot sauce company now. It's a long con. It's going to pay off.
Right.
This is going to work out for us. But you just have to trust me and tell the neighbors that I'm on hiatus from work while I work for the hot sauce company.
I believe that you can make this happen no matter what. I just think it's in the cards for you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Really means a lot to me.
And I only say that because I have to believe that in order for me and Prince Harry to hang out. Like, I desperately want to happen in my life. So if that can happen, then yours definitely is happening. So onward with the Eli show.
Hell yeah.
Yes, absolutely. I would pay very good money to watch Eli Manning learn Spanish, puppets or not.
Because you know the subreddit, Eli5, explain like I'm 5.
Mm-hmm.
Eli5.
Oh shit.
So explain like I'm Eli. Yo, you fuck with that? Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay, that's for you, Dan. That's for you. That's
thank
wow.
you.
Wow.
Now, is that Eli explaining the most complex things? No. Out there?
Or Eli's a 5-year-old, bro.
So every week we watch Eli learn about all kinds of like quantum physics and things.
Yes. It's Eli asking sincere questions of 5-year-olds. And they help him. They teach him.
They help him.
Right. Savant type 5-year-olds, like genius 5-year-olds, and Eli.
Getting very frustrated with Eli, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. How do I do lowercase b's versus lowercase d's? And they're like, use your hand, make it look like a bet. And it's left to right. That's what a b looks like. That's what a d looks like, Eli. Okay.
But I'm here to talk to you about the Large Hadron Collider. Oh, what's that?
Yeah. Have you watched any of the Monday Night Football kind of telecasts or simulcasts, I guess, where he and Peyton kind of chop it up?
I have not, because Peyton is not part of my football sitcom narrative. I think because Peyton is like on purpose funny in a way that Eli is not. And I don't want that to infect my goals.
Right.
Wow. Yeah. I love that.
Man.
Is it good? Do you watch it?
I don't watch it, but I've heard, like, the things that I've heard make them both sound very smart about football, which also kind of interferes with the my preferred narrative around Eli. But yeah.
Let's just go for his agent, man.
That's what we'll
do next. We'll go after his agent, Tom Condon, pitch him direct.
Oh.
I was going to say we're going to talk about like the news stories we could cover today, but I think we should just like strategize about this Eli show the whole time.
Yeah. Because we know some people at CAA, you know?
Yeah.
Straight to them.
We are going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, a few of the stories we're talking about. Dumb spies. We're going to talk about two dumb spies that just got caught. There is a long tradition of dumb spies that I would like to just take a quick look at. But spies in general are not what you see in movies, unless you're talking about like the movie Spy with Melissa McCarthy. Like that is more in line with like the spy comedies seem to be more in line with like how actual spies operate.
Right.
Or at least the ones we know about, because they're bad and get caught.
You're not doing dead drops in a peanut butter sandwich?
Yeah.
Thumb drive in it?
There's this John le Carré story I always talk about, like, you know, the great spy novelist who he wrote this like nonfiction article for The New Yorker about his time in MI5 or whatever the MI is. That's the CIA for British people. And he talks about like this like hyper super secret mission he was on with this guy who was like doing dead drops, but like the guy was actually like doing dead drops with himself and had just like completely lost it and was like just creating this whole thing, this whole like air of mystery because he was paranoid and also bored. And this was like at the height of the Cold War in Berlin.
Wow.
So we'll talk about that. We'll talk about the dependency ratio. China's economy missed its mark this past quarter, and the New York Times is not talking about the dependency ratio, so I always like to bring that up. We're going to ask the question, what the fuck is Jesus Ween? Because that's coming up, everyone's favorite holiday, Jesus Ween.
You see that tweet, Dan?
No.
I saw it like last week where someone just took a picture of the back of a bus, and it said JesusWeen.com, and I was like, what? And I'm glad we'll now find out what Jesus Ween is.
So excited to learn.
The full sign is, should Jesus Ween replace Halloween? JesusWeen.com.
This is a great...
Check it out. There. Mm. We will talk about the time travelers who are populating social media. They're all over the place. They're so hot right now. We're going to talk about that. All of that, plenty more. But first, Daniel, we do like to ask our guests, what is something from your search history?
Yes. Most recently, I searched, how soon can I start packing before a move? And this tells you a few major things about me. One, most obviously, it tells you that I'm moving in the future. It is, at the time of recording, it's Shocktober 18th. I'm not moving until December 31st. It's very far out there. And so this also tells you I'm not planning on anything resembling like an in-home social life for the next several months. I've written off my future.
Right.
Like it's going to be just boxes and nowhere to sit for a while. And most tellingly, I think it reminds everyone that I'm, even in my mid-30s, I'm still very focused on like, what is the normal way to go about doing things? I want to make sure, even if I don't follow it, I want to be aware of what it is. So that's like, Google is my non-judgmental friend where I can just go like, what's a normal way for a human to move? Right. And then it tells me like, oh, okay, good. It's good to know. It's Google suggests, by the way, 2 to 3 weeks before the move, which is not what I'm
insufficient Google
now. Yeah.
I'm getting severe doesn't sleep the night before a flight vibes from you. Like just kind of packs and repacks. Yeah, that's smart. It's better than the alternative, which I have engaged in many times, which is just kind of throwing everything into a garbage bag.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And then throwing that in the back of a U-Haul.
Yeah. Those first moves in or right after college is when you're like just packing up the construction bags. You're like, boxes? Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, man. I'll put all these books and pans in a fucking garbage bag and throw them in a truck.
Yeah. And the amount of things, when I left LA for New York, it was a very quick move. And there are so many things that I'm like, well, then I'll just go without a calendar and I throw it out. Like things that I would sooner get rid of than like bother finding a new box for it. And then as soon as I am in my new place and I'm boiling water, ah, oh, shit. I need a calendar.
Yeah. Did you try the thing where you just like break the cap or the lid of the thing very slightly and then dump half the pasta out?
Cracking the lid.
Yeah, cracking the lid, but it's completely insufficient replacement
for
the
steam colander. Creeps out and burns part of your hand, and then you let go. And it's on the sink and you're like, God, just a fucking failure.
Fortunately, there are sweatshirts for that.
Side note,
you can just...
Today is, we forgot to mention up top, National Seafood Bisque Day, just to let everybody
know.
That's what we're celebrating today.
Is that October 18th or 19th?
19th.
Shocktober
I know we're
19th.
Recording October it then, 19th. But it's, look, a little peek behind the curtain.
Sorry.
As we
that.
Celebrate this, it will be National Seafood Bisque Day.
And you did mention it was Shocktober. Do you celebrate? Are you an observer of Shocktober?
I don't really care for Halloween. It's not like a big holiday for me, but anytime someone says October, very academically correcting them to Shocktober is very fun to me. I really enjoy that.
Shocktober. Yep.
Yeah.
Wait, is there something, is that a real thing or that's just a colloquialism for just because it's spooky October, we call it Shocktober? Or is there like an actual phenomenon I'm missing out on?
Not that I know of. I think it's one of those things that was like Shocktober at Knott's Scary Farm.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Which they really fucked up with the naming of that because it just sounds like it's any other day at Knott's Berry Farm, which is not scary.
Yes.
It's
scary. What is something you think is overrated, Daniel?
Finishing books, not just like broadly. There was a tweet going around a week or so ago about how it's rude to the author if you don't finish books. Did you guys cover this on the show already?
Mm-mm.
No, it's just someone. I don't know what their background is, but they were like. The way that almost all discourse on Twitter is where it starts in the middle of a conversation you didn't know you were having, and they're already mad at you. So it's all caps. It's mean. It's disrespectful to the author
right.
to stop their book before you're done. Like the author doesn't care. And I, as someone who used to finish every book that I started, like had personal rules about it. Like once you're in it, you're in it. I've since abandoned that and I'm much happier. I don't think there's any honor as a reader in finishing a book if you're not enjoying it. And as someone who's written books, I don't care. I don't know if you finish it. And also right. like, How to Fight Presidents, I wrote that book so you can read it while taking a shit. And then you put it down and move on with your life.
In one sitting.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's really, life is too short to like be 30 or 100 pages
trudge through the into third a book act of a Stephen King book.
Yeah. I find myself doing that a lot with history books. Like when I buy a book, like any kind of historical book, I usually like, it's usually something I have some partial knowledge around and then I'll get to the part I know mostly about and then I'm like, all right, I got the good part out of this.
Yeah. Right.
Like,
yeah, you're still waiting
this.
To figure out how World War II ends, right?
Yeah, yeah, but shut the fuck up, dude. No spoilers. I bought this book on like William Tecumseh Sherman because I'm like really interested in him as a general and things like that and just kind of his whole outlook on the world and the Civil War and things like that. But I knew a lot of the stuff like of the main battles, but there's a lot of information about him before that I wasn't really up on. And so like once I got through like the first half of the book and we were getting heavily into like the Civil War, I was like, all right, I got what I need here.
I got this Tecumseh. That name needs to come back, by the way. What is something
you think
is...
from the real world? Do you remember that guy?
His name was Tecumseh?
His name was Tecumseh. I think he was named after Tecumseh. His name was whole name was Tecumseh. I used to smoke weed with him.
What is something you think is underrated, Daniel?
Routines. I'm a convert to a routine lifestyle. There's a trope in like heist movies that I used to think was made up, like Ocean's 11. And they would say, Benedict leaves his office every day at 11:05 to get a coffee, which he sips for 3 minutes. And then he walks across the street to this place for 4 minutes. I'm like, man, that's really fucking convenient for your heist that you're robbing from an alien. And no one actually behaves that way. But sometime during the pandemic, a switch flipped in my brain and I'm such a routine person now. And I just love it. It's very like my life is not regimented to the minute or anything like that, but like, I have a morning routine. I have a nighttime routine. I have a post-work routine. I have a midday routine. And I love all of them. I love that kind of structure. And like alarms go off on my phone when it's time for me to get up and walk my dog. And when it's time for me to like do a little stretch, an alarm, my phone goes into do not disturb mode the same time every night. And that means I'm not allowed to look at my phone anymore because it's locked me out of it. And that starts my bedtime routine. And I just love it.
That sounds, I mean, you're outing yourself as someone who's incredibly easy to heist at this point. But yep.
He cannot, he doesn't talk to nobody after a certain point. So he's in the dark at night.
Right. Yeah. That's when we strike. Yeah. I'm both scattered and probably less fulfilled and happy than you are. But nobody's getting one over on me because I'm a fucking loose cannon out here in my daily routine, man.
Sometimes he'll just fuck off in the middle of a recording. And they're like, gotta keep him on their toes. I'm like, I'll be back in 40. And then the guest is like, what? And I'm like, I'm sorry. He can never get got. This is part of his genius.
Yeah, man.
The morning routine part, I'm the closest I've done or began to implement any rule is to like try and get to like that first 40 minutes without looking at my phone in the morning.
Oh.
Just to not set off like the hyper brain activity shit so early. Cause like I used to be able to like, wake up and scroll Twitter, y'all. Like, just go straight into that. And, you know, doing that has helped a lot, actually, just to kind of maintain some semblance of humanity.
Yeah. I've definitely wanted to. I've definitely seen the value in a routine, but it's...
I think it must be tougher if you have children.
Yeah. The children blow up your routine constantly. Yeah.
I have no excuse and I have no routine. So, I don't
know what the fuck. All right. Well, let's take a quick break. We'll come back and we'll talk about dumb spies.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hey, here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Visible is the wireless company that makes wireless visible. No hidden fees, no really. Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Just switch to Visible at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. And we're back. And
wait, so did America win World War II? Fuck it. I'm going to skip.
You know it, man.
Fuck yeah.
Actually, we're going to maybe talk about that in a little bit.
Oh, man.
But first, let's talk about...
but I'm also half Japanese.
Yeah.
Actually, don't tell me what happened.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. See, that's why I didn't want any spoilers.
Yeah, so we'll talk about that in a moment. First, some of the remnants of that, which is our dumb spy culture that is still lingering, and took in one Jonathan and Diana Tobe. He's Toby. A 42. Did I mispronounce that?
No, I don't know. It's T O E B B E. So like that's like a loaded name. I could see it being Tobe, Tobe. Tobe B, with a double B in it. I don't know.
Tobe B.
Yeah,
that's rarely how we pronounce two B's in a row. But
hey, anything's possible right now.
I think that's a funny bit. Just hey, Tobe B. All consonants that are doubled up.
Conundingham.
Just being honest with it. All right. So he's a 42-year-old Navy nuclear engineer. She's a 45-year-old teacher. What's the Avril Lavigne song? Could anything be more something?
Any more obvious?
Obvious.
Any more obvious. Yeah. So there we go. They look very normal. They look like what I would expect those descriptions to like create in my mind of the random generator of 42-year-old nuclear engineer and 45-year-old teacher from Annapolis would look like. Mm-hmm. But they got caught up in a spy thriller of their own making.
Yeah.
Wow.
I think people heard that two Americans were caught trying to sell secrets to a foreign government. And that was as much as I knew till I read the article. And it's so much more sad than that. And like these people were like living in a fucking fantasy world. So they got arrested by the FBI because, again, they were selling nuclear technology to a foreign government. And their trial begins this week and they could potentially be facing life sentences for this. And the whole thing is their operation is like kind of confusing for a number of reasons. Like they didn't ask for a lot of money initially, like $100,000 or something in crypto, and their motives aren't really known. But they were like spectacularly amateur about the whole thing. Like the man, Jonathan Toby or Toba Bay, was clearly like had a penchant for tradecraft, like was really into this stuff. So first, this guy sent a letter to a foreign government and it's unnamed in the criminal complaint. It just says they're referred to as country one. But most people are presuming it's an ally because you'll hear later on why it's probably an ally of the United States and possibly France, which we'll also get into because of this man's imagination. Right. So first he sent a letter to foreign government one saying like, hey, here's some like nuclear sub propulsion technology, like some information on our propulsion systems. Make a little down payment and I will keep the real information flowing just so you know that I'm real with this stuff. Then this is where they fucked up is he just sent this letter to presumably some foreign intelligence person. That government just went to the FBI a few months later and they're like, yeah, one of your people is trying to sell us nuclear sub secrets. So I don't know if you want to take over this. They did. A special agent immediately began posing as the person they thought they were interacting with. And that's probably another reason why they presume it's an ally, because most people are like, I don't think Russia would be like, hey, they're trying to sell me some Russian sub secrets. They would probably be like, thank you for these sub secrets. Let's keep this going, or any other adversarial nation. And then so this FBI agent begins posing as, you know, this person on the other side. And this is what they describe sort of what the next few months were like. A chronicle of encrypted letters, dead drop locations, and cryptocurrency transfers, all rather expertly instigated by Toby, a self-proclaimed amateur in this realm. which suggests that he picked up the lingo and tools of tradecraft from the world of cinema and publishing. In this Slate article, they go on to say that in the complaint, that some of Toby's letters, reprinted at embarrassing length in the complaint, seem to lift entire quotes from The Courier, the underrated movie about the Oleg Penkovsky case. So he was just being like, here's that. I'm talking like a spy to this actual spy of another nation. And yeah, they dropped off more than 11,000 pages of like this confidential data. And like one of the thumb drives is in a peanut butter sandwich, and they got 100,000 in crypto in exchange. And I guess there was going to be more, but people were like, that's kind of a low bar considering you're now looking at life in prison.
Right. So his payment was more getting to like use the lingo and put thumb drives in peanut butter sandwiches, which I would assume fucking ruined it. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, you like probably saran wrap the jump drive.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
And then you smear it in. Come on, Jack.
See, you know? That's why they pay you the, smuggle shit, bucks. I just blew your cover.
That's where the French pay me to. Never mind. Delete. But a lot of people were saying like another reason they thought it was an ally because this guy, Toby, was like, I need you to prove to me that like you're on the up. Like, well, I will be in D.C. with my wife at your embassy, or they said at a building that you own, presumably an embassy or consulate, like give a signal so I know that like you are like the government knows and like you're trying to communicate with me. Apparently this guy got that signal when he went to DC, whatever it was. And this is the part where it gets really just kind of sad. This is just one of the letters that he wrote to this guy. Okay.
This letter is amazing.
This is what he says. Thank you for, so again, this is their, the transmission of information has begun, money has been exchanged, and like they see like more coming down the road. This is from Jonathan, quote, thank you for your partnership as well, my friend. One day when it is safe, perhaps two old friends will have a chance to stumble into each other at a cafe, share a bottle of wine, and laugh over stories of their shared exploits. A fine thought, but I agree that our mutual need for security may make that impossible. Whether we meet up or no, I will always remember your bravery in serving your country and your commitment to helping me.
Oh, my God.
What?
What a bummer.
So embarrassing.
The end of fucking Dark Knight Rises?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
you're just randomly there and you're like, hello, mate.
Yeah.
Just a quick hat tip.
That is the one thing we know about this guy is he's seen Dark Knight Rises and doesn't realize he's pulling from that in that part probably, or doesn't
although
think
that
the
was
person reading it will realize that.
Yeah. I love the FBI's decision to humiliate this person because they could have, like, at the get-go, as soon as France was like, hey, America, someone sent a letter that said, dear France.
Right. Here's your
We think you should go get him.
Yeah.
Like, the FBI could have just said, hey, we know this. Stop it. But they're like, no. Let's see where he goes with this. And I love that petty decision.
Right. Well, right. Yeah. Like, because
he's texting me.
Come over here.
Yeah. Dude, hey, get him to send a picture of himself doing some spy stuff. Okay. Show me your dead drop OPSEC, please. And he's like, okay, I've got this. I mean, that's the thing is they're charged with violating the Atomic Energy Act is like sort of what these charges are stemming from. And you violated the second according language of the law when you've even attempted or conspired to transmit information. So I'm sure they just want to be like, okay, how deep is this going? But I think maybe they're like, is this person for real? Because it's not a lot of money. This person's so naive and this is still going. But
he keeps texting me, isn't it cool to be a spy? He says spy a whole lot.
Yeah, dude. Sent me
spy.
he made a custom shirt that says spy bros for life and he wanted my address so he could send me one. But the thing is, the other reason why I think it's France, some people are like, is it because like that cafe and bottle of wine was like meant to evoke like some French like street cafe or something? But also, because it has to do with nuclear submarines, it's possibly because if you remember last month, Macron lost his shit over the U.S. doing a deal with Australia for nuclear sub technology. Right. And if it is France, they're like, bro, we could have got that shit for nothing and not said anything. And we told you guys and then you fucking snaked us and then to another nuclear sub deal. What the fuck was that? Which I have a feeling may have given like why that response was like that.
Yeah.
But again, it's all just very sloppy and sad and fun.
Do we know, is Topa B's motives, is it is it just currency at this point, or like, does he have a vendetta against America as well?
It's really hard to know at this point. It really is. It's very difficult to know. But I think that's like another question people are asking is like, what could the damage actually be to the U.S.? Like, they have two young kids. And so, right. like, they go to jail for, like, life. Like, this is all kinds of bad. Not to say, like, think of the children, but, like, it's like, what is this? Like, what is, yeah. is I mean, is what that going to be the, like, are they going to go to the letter of the law like that and put these people away for life? If not, I don't know. Like,
right. Like, are we allowed to have, like, a sliding scale application of the law where it's like, we know what they did, but they're too dumb to do it. They're, like, clearly harmless. Right. I don't think but we then, can, that's not a great precedent to set.
No.
It's dumb.
We're already
Americans.
Doing that. Yeah, okay. We're already applying that to the insurrectionists now.
Right.
So,
right.
And they've been like, well, they were so dumb, honestly. Like, there was no way they were going to get away with it. So, how's a little bit of probation for you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Back in our days at Cracked, we covered a bunch of, like, just inept spies to the point that it seemed like this was the rule rather than the exception. There's a guy, Aldrich Ames, who, like, kept getting in trouble with the CIA for getting drunk and fighting cops at bars. And then, like, he just decided to turn into a traitor in 1985. And his tradecraft was he would drive up to the Soviet embassy with a box full of documents and just, like, bring them in and then walk out with a bag of money. And, like, and it took them, like, 8 years to catch him. And there's just so many of these.
Wait, so you said he was a CIA agent? Or what was this guy's position?
Yeah, he was a CIA. He was constantly getting in trouble for, he was frequently reprimanded for sleeping on the job at the CIA, which is a gig he almost didn't get because he kept fighting police officers. And then, like, I think actually slept with a, this might be a different one, but what one of the ones from this was also constantly getting drunk and getting into fights. And was, like, sleeping with multiple secret agents from foreign countries. It's just constantly people fucking up. And then the CIA being, like, 5 years in, being like, I think we got them all. It's like the guy's carrying a bag of rubles and driving around, like, taking a fucking helicopter to the office.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. It's hard to know really like what these people thought they were going to get away with or how they thought it was going to make their lives better. Like the prosecutors seem to think like they just wanted like a nest egg to kind of just like guarantee like their next like financial phase of their life.
Right.
But, like, fuck, man. If you like you got look, if you're going to commit crimes like that, you got to know what the fuck your life is worth.
Yeah.
Can't be no 100K in Dogecoin. Like, fucking swing for the fucking fences if you're going to go to prison 4L. Come on now.
All right. Let's talk really briefly about the dependency ratio, just because I think it continues to be one of the most underrated kind of forces or explanations in kind of macroeconomics in the modern world. There's a story in the New York Times about how China's economy has continued to slow, and it, like, focuses on steel mills facing power cuts and computer chip shortages and, you know, troubled property companies. There's like a big real estate kind of meltdown happening in China. But it doesn't mention anywhere this thing that I always I come back to. Like, this is on par with the British coal gas study and Tom Hanks peeing in every movie is like a thing I just bring up at every opportunity that I get. But yeah, and Havana Syndrome as well. But it's basically like you put working age people on one side of a scale, you put people who are too young or too old to work on the other side, and the more that the working age people outweigh the other people, the dependents, which is why it's called the dependency ratio, the stronger the economy like tends to perform over a long period of time. And if you like, this basically explains the 20th century, like the U.S. is like unprecedented baby boom was working its way through working age during when America's like economy really took off. And now that they're all hitting retirement age, it's starting to slow down. And China like is a really interesting example of this because they did the one child experiment. Like their one child policy was basically a way to kind of force a really favorable dependency ratio by sort of artificially shrinking the number of dependents. And so they had this huge population of people who were going through working age and then much smaller dependents, and can be seen as fueling their massive economic growth. But now that big like chunk of working age people is hitting retirement. So it's like, as I'm trying to explain it, I'm starting to see why it's not raised that much, because it's kind of boring. But I think it's also like it takes some of the agency and like heroism and like the sort of like deserving out of America's economic success, and particularly the economic success of the baby boomers. Like the idea that they're just like a lucky demographic cohort is probably like something that baby boomers are allergic to. And they're, you know, still, even though the median population of America is 38, I think if you like look at the median population of powerful people in the country, it's probably squarely in the heart of like the baby boomer set. And I just feel like that generation's entire worldview wants to believe that they are special and better than everyone and earned their financial success.
Broadly.
Yeah, just broadly speaking.
Because we know, I love when the boomers I gang come through and they're like, I'm not like the other boomers. We're like,
sure.
You listen to our terrible show.
Right, there's no way. But yeah, I mean, and then I also think like just the one-child policy is a very like, I don't know, is one of the strangest or like most kind of inexplicable policies if you just totally take the dependency ratio out of the equation. It's just, and I feel like we never really think about like why they did that or how it relates to their financial success.
So what does that mean for us?
It just means that, so what, one detail that kind of jumped out at me, other than like, I think it, like there's a relationship between like America's like white supremacy and their ability to just be like, ah, China doing the one child policy, that's weird. They're weird, just like not thinking about it any further. It also relates to immigration policy, because U.S., like one of the main forces that is keeping the U.S. median age like and dependency ratio in a good place is the, you know, massive immigration, or, you know, the urge for immigration that the GOP like wants to fight against. And it just seems coincidental, or not coincidental, that the people who are like the most like baby boomer ass party, the GOP, wants to like fight against immigration, and they're also the ones who would like most want to ignore the financial realities of like the dependency ratio being the reason that they have their success. But that's kind of one of the reasons that people think that the dependency ratio is going to hit China harder than the U.S. is. By 2050, like the U.S.'s population is supposed to, you know, grow by quite a bit because of the dependency ratio, and China's is supposed to shrink because of people are more likely to leave the country than want to come there. So that's that story.
And that's all I have to say about that.
And one child policy, base level, we agree, is a bad idea.
Yes.
Okay, good. All right.
Yes.
Because at one point you're like, and this one child policy, and then there was a long pause, and then you landed like on
pretty
so strange. I was like, yeah, strange. Yeah. Keep going, though.
Yeah. Very
really
awful.
Quirky.
Yeah, they were kind of quirky. But
I don't want to say authoritarian.
Right.
Just forward thinking.
Like, what were they? Yeah. Yeah. No,
they were really looking at that, though, huh? Gotta give it up. No, I think it's funny too, because there's immigration is such one of these issues in the country where it's looked at as like it's the end of the country, but no one acknowledges that so many of the great things about this place is that it's because of people coming here from different places, whether that's just the opportunity it provides. Or, you know, cuisine. I think for a lot of people who are like, man, fuck immigrants, realize a lot of the food you're eating that you even think is American is because of this melting pot that the United States became. And then also on top of it, I think that's the other part they don't talk about, is the financial aspect for people who are so focused on like the economy of it all. Like if you were just actually playing with facts and figures, like, no, okay, yeah, this, we can handle more people being here. But it's also this fear of a brown or not so alabaster white America that fears a lot of, or drives a lot of the fear around it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and just to, in relation to World War II, like I think
Miles, cover your ears.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert. The fact that the US had this massive population boom and generation, you know, the baby boom that drove their financial success well. And we were just like, and we took credit for winning World War II, while Russia, who actually, like, you know, all of their working age people, like, died in World War II while actually doing a lot of the, you know, horrible work that was required to win that, is also a pretty big, you know, reason that the U.S. ended up winning the Cold War, or at least, like, outlasting the USSR. But again, not the sort of thing that people in the U.S. want to acknowledge, especially in, like, the mainstream media. All right. Yeah. Miles, you can start listening again.
All right. What happened? I'm just watching that movie Enemy at the Gates with Jude Law. I hope it doesn't spoil anything. I feel like it was only, like, recently, like, in the last couple of years, where, like, someone on TV was like, no, we only won the war because of Russia. You know that, right? And people were like, huh? Like, suddenly, like, it was as if people, like, it was anathema to everyone's, like, oh my, what did this person say that is a historian that is acknowledging what happened on the Eastern Front? Okay. But yeah, I don't think it's still built. It's part of our idea that we dropped bomb, people gave up, we beat Hitler, good night.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's crazy that all those boomers helped Russia win the war. that Russia never would have done it if the boomers hadn't just told them, go ahead and do it, please.
Yeah.
Right.
Hit after hit from that generation.
All right, let's take a quick break and we'll be right back to talk about Jesus Ween.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan, and if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Hey, here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get.
But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Visible is the wireless company that makes wireless visible. No hidden fees, no really. Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Just switch to Visible at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
And we're back. And so a photo of a bus advertisement in Toronto was circulating on Twitter a couple weeks ago promoting the website JesusWeN.com. That's the only time I'm going to attempt that joke because I can't. Can't think of what has two letters unless it's directly in front of me.
Literatures.
Literatures. But yeah, the like we said up top, said, should Jesus Ween replace Halloween? So a group of Christian kind of extremists, by some measures, are trying to co-opt Halloween by turning it into Jesus Ween, advertising about it on city buses. They've been doing this for the past 10 years. It began with a pastor in Canada who had the brilliant idea that Christians should hand out Bibles instead of candy on Halloween, you know, because what better way to indoctrinate the youth than by stoking the rage every child feels when they get anything besides candy on Halloween.
Yeah. This is like colonizer Christmas, like handing out Bibles to people who don't want them. What the fuck is that?
We had a house every year that would give out stamps, and we had a house every year that would give out a roll of pennies. And I tell you, the level of fury that 8-year-olds would get after being handed money was very intense. Like, really? I don't care that this is currency. I'm here for candy. That's what the day's about. So if these guys turned around and gave you a book, that's you're going to have a riot on your hands.
Yeah. Like, glow sticks even felt like a fuck you.
You guys got glow sticks?
I remember one time someone gave out glow sticks instead of candy.
That is definitely for the younger demographic, because kids are, minds are fucking melted by glow sticks.
Yeah, and then you keep them in the freezer, because I remember like an adult was like, yeah, keep them in the freezer, they last longer. And I'm like, do they? And they don't. Just some stupid, weird logic that an adult presented to me as a child.
Also, good for the glow sticks. I don't think my interest in glow sticks is going to last very long. I feel like it begins and ends with, look at this thing glowing. All right.
There you go.
On to another thing.
Turn the lights off. Turn the lights off. Look. It's trailing.
So one of the Jesus Ween websites has a promotional image which features a grown woman proudly holding a Bible and a small child who is not in a costume being handed the earth by a smiling couple.
Fucking
and they're
globe.
All in a white void of nothingness. And so apparently this is appropriate because on Jesus Ween you're not supposed to wear a costume, but rather just a plain white top to symbolize righteousness and the love of God to all mankind, which is just kind of objectively less fun than dressing like Batman.
Yeah.
Well, and
unless you think of, like, you know, Christ's love also has a lot of superpowers too, if you think about it.
Yeah, in a lot of ways, the original Superman.
Yeah, exactly. Here we go, Dan. Let's start our youth church.
Yeah. I mean, I am trying to split the difference this year in dressing my kids up as a zombie, but the zombie is very clearly the risen Christ, armed with. But the Jesus Ween website covers, well, what one thing they say on their website is that every Christian is expected to wear a white top to symbolize righteousness. Like we just mentioned, the money normally used to buy costumes can be given to ministries that print Christian books to help the unsaved. So it's part of that whole saved and then you're good and can do it whatever the fuck you want. Or unsaved and you burn in the eternal pits of hell. But then they go on to say, or give such funds to Jesus Ween or food banks to help the poor.
Whoa.
Is thrown in as the third option behind giving it to Jesus Ween.
Yikes. I'm sorry. So what are they going to do with the money? Keep preaching the gospel of a terrible holiday no one wanted?
Yeah, I think you just got to drive that money right back into more bus ads.
more bus ads, more Photoshop work of a couple handing.
Crudely smashed together stock images. Are these the same people that do like the religious scary haunted houses? Like, it feels like, isn't that like it feels like a natural offshoot of those people who have like those like Christian haunted houses?
I think it's probably like driven by the same sort of forces, but it doesn't appear to be quite related. But yeah, just Christianity coming up against the coolest holiday of all and just like trying to figure out a way to work their way into it.
I get it. As a Christian, I understand Halloween is when Jesus Christ slew Dracula, and a lot of people forget that. And it's a bummer to see how commercialized it's gotten and how hardly anyone talks about
that
fatal fight on top of Mount Sinai. But you know, it's the holiday doesn't belong to you anymore. And you just have to deal with that.
Yeah, it is very frustrating.
It was actually called Mount Cyanide, but it was too spooky for the original authors of the Bible.
There you go. The website also covers what you're supposed to do when like you give a kid a Bible and they try like to fight you. apparently, you're supposed to yell "Jesus loves you" at the children without getting into, quote, any argument of some sort.
I mean, how do you even play that out? What is this, lady? A fucking Bible?
Jesus loves you.
And they're in their mind, they go, can you say that again? Jesus loves me? Pathetic
Surely
wretch like
me.
Myself?
That's definitely the version that they have in mind. Like, I maybe that's what they could put their Jesus Ween budget into, is like some dramatic short films showing like the various ways to, like some training films for getting at Bibles on Jesus Ween.
Yeah, I like that they're anticipating, like, so what should I do if the inevitable thing happens?
Right, exactly.
Right. It's like it's the equivalent of like what Tobebe was reading for his spy books, where it's just like, clearly you don't follow this advice, but when you are caught by the FBI, this is what you're going to say. Like, yikes.
So it doesn't seem like Jesus Ween really caught on. This started 10 years ago.
Oh. 10 years ago? Holy cats.
Yeah, it's been going on. They've called it the most, I think, the most effective Christian outreach day. But that is certainly a self-reported statistic that is based on absolutely no metrics. But there's some advertisements for Jesus Ween parties this year, and they show kids wearing generic stock photos Halloween costumes. So, in particular, a young man wearing a M superhero costume, just completely generic thing that your parents would try to give you. Like, if you asked to be a superhero and they wanted to disappoint you as much as possible.
The M is for Moses.
The font on the M looks vaguely like the M&M candy font.
Yeah. They cut it together. First, they got him a costume that was the yellow M&M.
Yeah.
And then he's like, I want to be a superhero. And they're like, shit.
Here, put these bangles on made of blue painter's tape. Accessorize your costume. You're going to look great. And this ad for this Jesus Ween party that has the young Moses superhero boy on it, I like in the corner, it says, lot of games, free lot food, games. Gifts, candles. Like, come on.
I think it's candies. But
oh, is that what it is?
I mean, it probably should be candles.
Yeah, why the fuck would I think it's candles?
I mean, because it's Jesus Ween, man.
Yeah,
they seem to be anti-candies.
Yeah. Damn. All right, well. They got me there. Free food, gifts, and candies. Then
this kid in particular also needs an FAQ for like, what happens when the kids ask me what my costume is? Say Jesus loves you. All right, okay. I tried that. Now they're beating me and laughing at me.
Yeah. Right.
What should I just louder? Jesus loves
Remind
you.
Remind that when your body ascends to heaven, that you will be seated at his right hand.
Yeah.
And they will be cast to the demonic hellscape that is Satan's
lair. Okay, mom. I tried that. They are unmoved.
Wait, mom, I'm dead. Mom.
The ad in question, and I don't want to make this whole story about this ad, but it is truly something to behold. It says, celebrate life in ransom note font.
Yeah.
Which is interesting. It gives it like kind of a unnerving. And then it also, the website states that this holiday exists because Christian days of hiding are over. And they're going to take a stand for Jesus, which is one of my favorite trends in Christianity, to pretend like they are a persecuted minority.
Yeah, no one's ever heard of it. No one ever on earth has ever heard of that plus sign that has come into their landscapes for many a century. Yeah. But that's also part of like the thing, you know, like you got to give it's like the same thing with evangelical conservatives, too. It's like the same very much like, you know, silent majority type thing of like, you got to get out there. Let them know we're here and we're not backing down from.
And also our, Jesus loves them. But, you know.
Yeah. And also Jesus loves you. Yeah. When rushing the Capitol building in D.C., just tell them Jesus loves you. And they will direct you straight to the Senate chamber.
Yeah. Reminds me of bless your heart, which is the Southern person way of saying, like, wow, you are fucked. you are fucked in
the
worst way.
You are utterly fucked, my friend.
All right. Let's talk about the time travelers that have been discovered on social media, because there's a young man named Javier who is here from the year... I don't know if they say 2027.
Yeah.
By then, humanity will have gone extinct, and the proof for this that has gotten like millions and millions of views on TikTok is a video of an empty playground. He's like, I brought this back from the future, y'all. Like, there's like playgrounds are literally empty.
Yeah. The power's still on though. The Wi-Fi works. The power's on. Playgrounds are empty. I mean, this is the hell on earth that we're experiencing in 2027. Yeah. It's like very, okay, low bar, I guess.
You could never find an empty playground in 2021. We don't. There are too many kids.
Yeah.
They're
everywhere.
Even before that, 2020, everyone was outside everywhere all the time.
Constantly playing on playgrounds.
This has to be real.
Yeah. One of my biggest frustrations, because I talked about my routines, is finding my afternoon playground time completely crowded, just overwhelmed
by
with
these
kids.
Damn kids.
My 3:30 playground time.
Then the dad's like, hey man, can my kid have some time on the swing? And I'm like, I've been here since 8 a.m. Finders keepers.
Yeah, there's all sorts of, this has been a long trend on social media since way back in the 90s. There was a guy named John something who came through. John Titor, who claimed that he was from the year 2034, was back to grab a 70s IBM computer. And the reason he needed it is because in the year 2034, they were still dealing with the fallout following the Y2K disaster.
I mean, you can trust any guy who, like, their first appearance claiming to be a time travel is on Art Bell's Coast to Coast. Like, that's the... Of course you're a time traveler. If you're not, something's wrong, because Art Bell only finds the most fantastic people, like the people who go to the, you know, reptilian underworld and fought their leader and won and came back to tell Art Bell that he's like, so I beat him and I got to go back down there. And he's like, okay, go on.
Sounds good so far.
Yeah. This all tracks.
And then there was a YouTube trend in which young white guys basically confess that they're time travelers from the future. Usually their faces are blurred, voices distorted. And one of the most popular was a British guy named Michael Phillips, who claimed that he knew Titor, who, by the way, according to this guy, did 9/11. And I just want to read...
Phillips just says that Titor did 9/11?
Yes. Okay. And I just want to read from a quote from him. It was decided that America needed a single unifying event to bring the country together and to revert a civil war. I think maybe you meant prevent. And that event was 9/11. So that's what happened there.
Spoken like a true historical person from the future.
So that's what happened there in reference to 9/11 is my favorite sentence.
So that's happened there.
On the internet.
In case anyone was wondering, that's what happened there.
Yeah. Like, it sounds like a drunk dude lying at a bar about it. And like, what about 9/11? He's like, we just needed a single unifying event to unite the country or revert a civil war.
Yeah.
So that's what happened there.
From there. Case closed on that one.
Yeah. So what else do you want to know about?
Yeah. I love this. I want this version of time travelers to be true. I want time travelers to all be dirtbags and to come back in time and be like, I know that guy. He did 9/11. Fuck that guy.
Yeah. It was like a Rick and Morty, a storyline, right, or something, like the scumbag time travelers who like hate each other.
They're not trying to prevent anything or share knowledge. They're like, hey, stop listening to that guy. He did fucking Katrina.
Right.
He did it? Oh, you wish you knew. I'm not going to tell you. Ani, look, let's move on.
Their stories usually fall apart anytime, as indicated by the still dealing with the fallout from the Y2K disaster. Their stories usually fall apart the second they try to make a prediction of any sort.
Can we just play? I just want to play the Michael Phillips, his thing, his like famous viral video where he reveals the World War III details.
Oh, you're talking about Time Traveler from 2075 reveals World War III details?
Yeah, of course.
Oh, yeah.
Our boy, classic. Michael Phillips, dude, born in 2043.
9.5 million views.
Just, again, listen to this and tell me if, I feel like at a very specific point, you know that this doesn't make sense because he's like, first of all, he's like acting like it's a TV movie, mm-hmm, but just how serious he is about everything and his background and understanding that how he became a time traveler.
Okay. And I'm going to go into this with an open mind and an open heart, ready to believe him.
Okay, good. That's all we ask.
I want to be weed and I also want to believe.
There you go.
At the age of 18, I joined the army, had a few years there, and then I was recruited into the SES, the 21st SES, which is going to be exact. We carried out a number of missions in countries that I'm not allowed to name because I've signed the Official Secrets Act.
Oh.
Okay. I have a big problem with a time traveler who won't violate his NDA from the future. Tell you where we were operated, but I can't because I've signed the Official Secrecy Act, but I've also traveled here to
back
help
in time
you out.
To tell everyone.
But I'm also going to explain how I time traveled, which wasn't an NDA I had to sign. They said
there
I can't
are massive fucking loopholes in this NDA. I gotta tell you guys. I'm gonna just tell you everything except this one detail.
It's weird. They got me there, and I don't. They will sue you. I don't want to go to court unless you know a barrister that's gonna represent me.
You've seen Judge Dredd. You know how future courts are.
But I'm just like, I just love that this whole thing is to have all this info, but an NDA thwarted you.
Yeah,
is just so funny. And then that's in the first 20 seconds, and I just had to stop. I was like,
fantastic.
So it turns out most of these videos come from a single channel called, this is, web sleuths have figured this out by just clicking on the channel that uploaded these. It's called Apex TV. And one of their biggest time travel success stories was a guy named Noah, who claimed he was from the year 2030. And he had proof, like a what he claimed was a history book page. From the year 2019, 2020,
so
that is clearly just a printer, like something that he printed out. It doesn't even look like a book from a page. It looks like a, 8.5 by 11.
It was ripped in half.
That was ripped in half. And then
2-inch margins.
He didn't even like burn the edges or anything, but he just crumpled it up and then uncrumpled it.
Yeah.
But that, as we now know, that is how our history books look these days.
Yeah.
And
with the entry is just 2 years.
Yeah. That's how, also how history books work now. And it includes, so it's like bullet pointed and
like all encyclopedias.
Or maybe, is it double spaced? I can't tell because they've like kind of blurred
like
it.
Fucking quadruple spaced. I didn't read the book. I need to get to a certain page count. And I don't care if they ding me on the font size or spacing when I turn it in type energy.
Right. It's impressively kind of shabby. And it includes from the year 2019, 2020, things we all remember, such as our discovery and friendship with aliens and robotic eyes. We all got robot eyes now.
It's just offensive to people who, like, look, I love a quirky story, but make it fucking good, make it be like, oh, that's dope, like look at that, that's a, like they really faked that encyclopedia page. The fact that this guy is holding it up, it's like his idea of an encyclopedia is a fucking yearbook where it's a hyphenated 2-year thing, like 2019 2020, like it's an NFL season, like, and this is what happened in this one, and then you just have these bullet points that says, in the future, aliens are also found. This is from the thing he has. They crash all over the world and we uncover them and we become peaceful with aliens. Like, Okay, very academic. April, the first commercial robotic eye was released, allowing blind people to see. Boom. No names, no details. And COVID's not in there either, huh, pal?
He also kind of made a mistake with the tensing there, since the he wrote that in the future tense. In the future, aliens are found. They crash all over the world and we uncover them and we become peaceful with aliens.
Hey, come on, come on, come on, man. What is this? Why are you breaking my balls here? I'm a time traveler, man.
But then, so somebody did even deeper internet sleuthing than just clicking on the channel name. And found out who this dude was and, you know, explained that he was just a teenager. And that video where they reveal, like, who the person is and all that shit, it has 5,000 views. And so then he started doing videos where he, like, kind of admitted to it. And then Apex TV put out their, like, competing narrative where they're like, nah, that guy's a fraud. We got this other guy who we had faked the story, but he was fooling us. So, but apparently Apex TV, not the most up and up YouTube channel. They started, they got him to start doing the videos for them when he was 14 by giving him $20 and asking him to make the video by himself, which is, you know, exactly what they look like.
Hey, but you know, what is consistent with time travel though, they tried to get him and his family to sign an NDA when they did it. That's how you know it's time travel. So there's always NDAs with time travel.
Yeah. I like that he explains in one of the videos the reason he looks so young is because he takes futuristic anti-aging pills, which I'm pretty sure I tried when I was 15 trying to buy beer. I was like, man, I know. I get it. But I'm you have to.
All right.
I do. I love the fantasy of like people in the future still describing things. Hey, you want some of these futuristic aging pills? Yeah. Put them in my future wallet. Thank you. I love that. I'm so future hungry.
Up on my futuristic smartphone. That's what I wish. I was still blown away by all the technology that was invented 15 years ago.
It's the way that you and I walk around and we're like, man, it sucks wearing these old timey clothes. I'm here in the past.
Right.
Such a bimder. That's what we call bummer in the future. There's all kinds of new ways of talking out there. But yeah, I love my futuristic Apple iPhone 11 Pro Max from the future. It was actually the best phone, so we just kept using it. That's sort of the thing. So I wouldn't buy one after this, is what I would say.
Yeah. But these stories have been like picked up on the Daily Mail and other places. Of course. So, that's, you know,
where would the
keen eye out when you're out there looking for news on the Sun or the Mirror.
Yeah, the Mail, though, I love. Yeah, and the Sun. I mean, that's where we got our great coverage of the lady who married the pirate ghost that she was married to and then had a divorce. So,
yeah.
A1
and Journal. Nudity. Just one of the things that will never not surprise me when you're in another country and the newspapers have just topless women on the cover.
Just for what?
For
is that part of the story or just
no,
like,
no. Hey, just because it sells papers.
Yeah.
It's pretty amazing.
It's just a headline that's like, hey, pretty nice, right?
Pretty nice, right? Also, Time Travelers, page 3. It's like, yo, this paper's got it all.
Daniel, as always, such a pleasure having you, man. Where can people find you, follow you, hear you, all that good stuff?
You can find me on Twitter at @DOB_INC. You can listen to the World's Worst Podcast that I do with my best friend Soren Bowie. Quick question with Soren and Daniel, you can find wherever podcasts are found. Watch the show that I write for Last Week Tonight with John Oliver, Sundays on HBO or anytime on HBO Max streaming.
Yeah.
I think that's it. Everyone have a really, it's such a bummer to end on a sincere note, but like, be safe out this Jesus ween.
Yeah.
Be really careful. Mm-hmm. Look out for your brothers and sisters.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we need to acknowledge the danger that is Shocktober. Like people, sometimes it's too much for people. So just.
I have to admit, I have my ignorance of Jesus. I mean, I thought it was the thing you try and look at when you look under like a big giant crucifix in a Catholic church and you try and see up the loincloth.
Loincloth? Right,
never mind. Totally different thing. We called it something else in my high school.
Yeah. And Daniel, is there a tweet or some other work of social media you've been enjoying?
Yeah, there's a tweet. It's the dumbest thing in the world.
Good.
It's someone on Twitter with the name Ms321 @BlackGinger000 asks, why was official Cisco singing so damn hard about a thong? ? And he quote tweeted it. Cisco quote tweeted it and responded, because I wanted to see it. I just love it.
That's all he was asking.
Simple. Yeah.
Simple request. Miles, where can people find you? What is a tweet you've been enjoying?
You can find me Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Gray. Also, the other show, 420 Day Fiance with Sophia Alexander. We talk 90 Day Fiance. Let's see. A tweet I like. I wish I had a witty one, but it was just this video I saw that blew my mind. Dan Toomey, D-H-T-O-O-M-E-Y, tweeted this video of the Balloon World Cup. And I don't know if you've seen this. Hold on. I'm going to share my screen really quick. It's mind blowing. It's literally that game where you try and just keep a inflated balloon up, but they have all this furniture in like a room with glass walls. And these two competitors just like keep batting it up and trying to get the other person to like let it hit the floor before they can keep it up in the air.
This is a young person's game.
This is fucking. And I was just like, this is amazing. And I love just seeing shit like, you know, it's the same thing like floor is lava, but a game show. Now we're doing the fucking keep the balloon up, but with like the highest stakes possible. And there's a fucking World Cup.
And you have to hit it up. Wild. Is that the
deal? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it can't touch the ground.
You can't just spike it down. Like, you got to at least keep it in play upward. Oh, he just dug it out.
Oh,
this guy's digging another one. Got it over the hood.
Fantastic.
He's coming. He's got it. What's he going to play with this one? I would have gone the other way, maybe the other direction. Look.
And then that's game.
I out. So I know that was just very difficult to hear someone just describe a video to you on a podcast.
Yeah,
but
you just have to watch it.
Just go to one of our Twitters because I'm like, God, why? I might get in shape to try and play this because I'll fucking lay it on the line for something like this.
You can find me on Twitter at @Jack_O'Brien. Some tweets I've been enjoying. Colin Crawford tweeted, if I die while being eaten by a shark, I hope I have the presence of mind to remember. It'd be funny to yell, this sucks.
Colin Crawford, one of the last funny people on Twitter. Know, so just so consistently fun. Good.
Yeah. Nick at Zarzik Nick tweeted Liam Neeson and Taken voice.
Just circling back about my daughter.
Those were both winners from over the weekend. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as the song that we think you might enjoy. Miles, what song are we sending people to go check out?
This is a cover of the Mos Def song, Umi Says, from the album Black on Both Sides, where my mama told me to light on the world, shine your light for the world to see. But it's a cover by Soul Supreme, and it's really good. It's like it feels like a retro version. Like, I don't know how else to describe it, except listen to this cover of it. I love when people do a cover of like a well-known song and give it like its own whole personality, but you can still hear the original song in it, and then you're like, that's what good art is. So yeah, this is Star Supreme with Umi Says.
All right, well, go check that out. The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That is going to do it for us on this Tuesday, but we are back this afternoon to tell you what's trending, and we will talk to you all then. Bye.
Bye.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.